Of course, we'd just been starting out back then. And now it was all over. Back in May, we'd decided to go our separate ways. People change over time, sometimes drifting in different directions without ever realizing it. Until it's too late. Amy's sudden rap on my driver's side window tore me from my ruminations. I yanked the belt of the black trench coat I was wearing, tightening it, as the thin material of the wrap dress I wore underneath would offer a little respite from the cold and rain. I opened the car door and Amy, stepping back, smiled warmly and tilted the umbrella so I could slip underneath it. "Maddie, it's been too long! God, how have you been?" "Good," I replied. "Just trying to adjust to this weather." Her pale blue eyes scanned down my form.
"Well, you look amazing. I was so excited when Mayor Fitch, your dad, called and said you were moving back."
Somehow balancing the umbrella in such a way as to keep us dry, she pulled me in for an awkward one-armed hug. Her swollen tummy pressed against my slender frame for a moment until she drew away.
"It's great to see you too," I said.
"But I'm not moving back permanently, you know. It's just for a few months." To keep the conversation from delving into exactly why I was back for such a specific amount of time, I motioned to her stomach.
"Congratulations, by the way. My dad didn't say anything about..."
"Oh, Maddie, I am so excited," Amy interrupted.
"Only one more month."
She rubbed her stomach, her hand gliding over the big, clear buttons on her powder blue raincoat. Standing there, ash blonde hair cascading down her shoulders in big, bouncy curls, and a smile as vibrant as ever, Amy radiated happiness. I'd forgotten how pretty she was, and pregnancy certainly agreed with her. Truly pleased for my once dear friend, I said,
"How's Sean? Thrilled, I bet."
"Very." "Do you know if you're having a boy or a girl?"
No.
Amy hesitated and pressed her lips together. She took an inordinate amount of time to adjust the umbrella to block the swirling winds that were starting to kick up all around us, and added flatly,
"We'd rather be surprised."
"Oh," I said slowly. "Okay." An awkward silence ensued, and we both watched as a fast food wrapper of some sort blew by us. It adhered to the trunk of my car, and Amy reached to snatch it up.
"Nice car,"
she murmured, crumpling the wrapper in her palm and dragging a finger through the beating raindrops.
"Sean would love a BMW.
There was something in her tone, something that made me feel self-conscious. Being a best-selling author of several novels allowed me to enjoy perks, such as my Burgundy M6 back in Los Angeles. Flashy sports cars were a dime a dozen in California. But I'd forgotten the people from this part of my life remembered me best as quiet, unassuming Madeline Fitch, daughter of beloved and low-key widower Mayor William V. Fitch.
Thanks.
I mumbled as I shifted away, shivering as icy raindrops began to pelt the back of my head. Amy stuffed the crumpled wrapper in her raincoat pocket and said,
We should start over to the ferry. Jennifer is expecting us by 2.
And just like that, everything was back to normal. Jennifer Weston and her cousin Brody owned the only 2-passenger ferries that operated out of Cove Beach. During the summer, in addition to the usual service, the Westons offered whale-watching excursions, usually for tourists passing through on the much less traveled route to Canada. Or sometimes folks would venture up from Bar Harbor to explore this quiet little area, since it was relatively close. Not to mention somewhat infamous. But now that we were well into September, there'd be no whale watchers, no curiosity seekers. The ferries would be used strictly as transportation between Harbor Falls and my destination today, Fade Island.